On behalf of the elders, I want to thank you for the generosity and kindness that you've shown, especially in recent weeks, in response to our determination, our goal, our expectation of paying off the debt of this building. We are so close. Last week, Steve Eldridge announced that we're at $119,000, and then had to re-announce that it was really $69,000 because an additional gift had been promised. It's amazing. Do you know how close that is? How close we are. Here's what I want you to know. This is the elders' pledge. We met last Monday. The announcement was made Sunday. Last Monday we met. We've already begun talking about what does our budget going forward need to look like. It needs to look different. And I can't give you the details, but I can tell you two things that we are committed to. The direction of the budget will be outward. And the focus of the budget will be evangelism and benevolence. We've still got things here we've got to take care of. We can't neglect what we have here. But that will not be our focus. I promise you that will not be our focus. For years, we've talked and we've prayed about the time when we won't have that debt to service any longer. And we are almost there. It'd be awesome if we could be there before the end of the year. And we might be. But we're still counting on the generosity and goodness of this congregation to respond. It has happened a little sooner than we expected. And perhaps that was lack of faith on our part. Perhaps it was a lack of confidence in you. I don't know. To whatever extent those things may be true, we apologize. We're sorry that our vision wasn't long enough. But we're pledging to you today that this budget, as we move forward, as soon as that debt can be paid off, as soon as we can be relieved of that, our budget will be directionally outward and focused on evangelism and benevolence. That's what you want. That's what we need. I believe that's what the Lord has called us to do, and that is our pledge. Thank you very much. Brent will perhaps have more to say about that in a few minutes. But I wanted to give my thought in that regard. Matthew chapter 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. When was the last time you did this? Have you seen my glasses? I was just sitting there next to you, and perhaps I took them off. And if would you check the pew next to you to see it? They're probably in your purse. I know you well enough. You clean up after me, so I probably left them on the pew, and you probably tucked them away neatly in your purse so that I wouldn't forget them. So if you'll please check your purse, I'd appreciate that. What's that mean? No. I just check your purse, if you would. I appreciate that, but if you check your purse, and apparently they're not in your purse. So perhaps maybe Samuel, if you could get the keys to the car from your grandmother, if you'd do that, and if you'd go out and check the car, because I'm pretty sure I had them in the car when we came to church this morning. And so if you would go check in the car for me, I would really, really appreciate that. And I suspect if I ask Samuel to do that, he's a respectful, kind, obedient young man. I suspect he would say, "Paul, if that's really what you want me to do, I'll go out in the car to look. But you might want to check your head first." Thanks, Sam. I appreciate that. Just go out in the car and check. If you would do that for me, I would really appreciate that. Now, my sister Carolyn Thompson, is just right in front of where Sherry and I sat for Bible class. So, Carolyn, if you could please check on the seat behind you, because I may have left my glasses back there during Bible class, may have taken them off, set them on the pew. And if you would please check that for me, I would appreciate it. And while you're doing that, I'm going to ask Jessica Cravens, because Jessica works with me at my office, and she was there Friday. I wasn't in the office Friday. Jessica, did you happen to see my glasses at the office on Friday? Usually they're in my car, and which is why I told Samuel to go out to the car to check. Everybody keeps pointing up here, and I don't understand that. But I guess maybe on the way home from church today, Sherry and I will stop by the office, and perhaps they'll let me. They weren't in the car, Sam? Carolyn, have you seen the glasses? Sherry hadn't found them. Well, I know what my afternoon's going to look like. I'm going to be busy this afternoon looking at my glasses. And you say, Lanyon, that is stupid. That is, what? What'd you say? Oh, yeah. Thanks, Tucker. I'm glad somebody finally talked some sense to me. I appreciate that very much. I know that's silly. Didn't everybody know where my glasses were? Was that a surprise to anyone? Not really even a surprise to me. And it wouldn't have mattered how carefully Samuel searched our vehicle. It wouldn't have mattered if Carolyn had stood up and checked the pew, if she had laid down on the floor and crawled under the pew looking for those glasses on the floor. It wouldn't have mattered if Sherry and I stopped by the office on the way home this afternoon to look for the glasses. None of that would have mattered. I would never, ever, ever find those glasses, ever. Until when? Till I looked where they were. Till I looked where they were. See, it doesn't really matter the effort that I put forth. It doesn't really matter how badly I want to find them. If I don't look where they are, I will never find them. And I want to suggest this morning that, to be real honest with you, my observation is that most of the human experience is people looking for things, what they need, what is important to them, what really matters, and never looking for them in the right place. And we know where they are. It's no surprise. We know where they are, and yet we go about our lives in a fury looking for things that are never where we're going to be looking for them. So guess what we aren't going to find? We're not going to find that which we need. Not going to happen. Back in 1980, the country singer Johnny Lee released a country single, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. And isn't that pretty much how we spend our lives? Looking for what we believe is important, what we think is necessary, what we think we would find fulfilling and that would bring happiness to us, only to find out that we've been looking for those things in the wrong places. Back in 1943, Abraham Maslow, he was an American psychologist. He produced a paper that we have come to know as Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. And he polished it a little bit, and he redid it a little bit in years later. But basically speaking, Maslow said that in the human experience, there are certain things that all people need. that we have to have these things, or at least we need to be moving toward those things in order to be fulfilled. Our motivation is seeking after these things. He spoke, first of all, of physiological needs. And of course, we all have those. That is, we've got to have air to breathe and water to drink and food to eat. And to be real honest with you, from the human perspective, if we don't have that very basic primal need met, none of the rest seems to matter. You ever wondered why Jesus fed the masses? I believe it's because they couldn't hear his message over the growl of their stomachs. And he recognized that they needed to eat. It's not that they weren't interested in spiritual matters. Some perhaps weren't, but I think many were. But they were hungry. And that the gnawing of their stomach seemed to overshadow the message that he would present. So he fed them, so that then they would have the ability to listen and hear and bring in the spiritual food that he was sharing with them. So Maslow said you have to have physiological needs. He said you have to have security. You've got to be able to feel secure where you are. You need to have a place of love and belonging, a place of acceptance. You need community and social interaction. He said you need esteem. You need to be able to feel good about yourself. You need to be able to feel like you have some worth and some value, that you're able to contribute something of good to society. And then lastly, what he called self-actualization. Maslow said you need to be improving. You need to be working toward a better self. Now, Maslow didn't come at this from a Christian perspective or a spiritual perspective. He was simply talking about the human psyche from a worldly standard. But I think to a significant degree, he was correct. We have those needs. And I want to suggest this morning that all of those needs, everything that we need, is found in Christ. It's promised a lot of different places. And to look elsewhere is as silly as me sending Sam out to the car to look for my glasses. It's as ineffective as stopping at my office on the way home from church today to try to find my glasses. Because I would never, ever, ever find my glasses. No matter how hard I looked, no matter how badly I wanted to, no matter how much I needed them, I would never find them until I looked on my head. Thanks, Tuck. I appreciate that, buddy. Keep me straight. And until I looked on top of my head, I would never find those glasses. And I know that's very elementary. I know that's a silly illustration, but it works. It just works. And we know that all that we need is in Christ. Relative to our physical needs, Jesus said in the very same sermon that Scott read from just a few moments ago, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or what you'll wear. That's what the world chases after. God knows you need those things. But what? We sang about it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What about security? I'm reminded of what David said in Psalm chapter 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in the most insecure, challenging, frightening place, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. What about a place of love and belonging? You remember what Jesus told his apostles? Very near the time of his death, John chapter 17, he said, I have a new command for you. Love each other. Like I've loved you. This is the new command, that you have love one for another. By this will all men know you're my disciples, if you love each other. We have a place in the church where we belong. A place where we can interact with others who are walking the same course that we're walking. A place to be accepted. Now, this is not the perfect place in that regard. We're working there. But it is a place where we're committed to that. So you be patient with me. And I'll be patient with you. And let's love each other. And let's find that need being met in the relationship that we share with others because of the relationship that we share with Jesus Christ. What about esteem? 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has lavished on us in that we would be called the children of God. And that's what we are. Is that amazing? Children of God? Does that make you feel good? Does that make you feel like you could contribute, like you could be something apart? We're called the children of God. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, his purpose in coming, among others, but on that occasion he said, I've come that they might have an abundant life, a life that is full and complete and satisfying. And that's what we find in Christ. And what about growing and developing? You remember what Paul wrote to the Ephesians about the fruit of the Spirit? And the analogy he used of fruit that grows and develops and it matures? That's what we are called to do and to be. To grow in those areas, to become better at those. We start, but each day we develop and we grow. And all of those needs are being met in Christ. Why would we look elsewhere? Now, the internet promises to offer that to you. Television commercials suggest that they have the satisfaction of those needs. Human nature looks around and we see what others are doing and what's happening with the lives of others. We see our neighbors and we see folks at work, and it entices us. It makes us want to go after those things. If I could just be like that. And I promise you, surely we ought to have enough awareness, enough knowledge. By this point, surely we do, that we know that all that's a farce. It's a facade. It's a Hollywood set. It looks like something on the outside, and there's nothing behind it. It's just empty. I've tried to take the advice of people who are older and wiser than me over the years. I think that's a pretty smart thing to do. And some of you are among those who have helped provide that advice and that guidance, and I thank you for it. But I want to go back even further, way further, to a man who we know was wise. His name was Solomon. Solomon had every resource at his fingertips. He had the wealth. He had the power. He had the connections. whatever one might need to do whatever one might want. That was Solomon. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, he outlines all of those things that he did. He said, I tried everything. And I didn't just dabble in it. I jumped in with both feet. Head first, I jumped in. And let me tell you what I came up with. A big zero. He called it, in the old King James Version, vanity. It was empty. There was nothing to it. And then he finished the book of Ecclesiastes. Let me tell you what I've concluded. Got a lot of experience. I've tried it all. Came up empty. Let me tell you what I've concluded. Fear God. Keep His commandments. It's the whole duty of man. What are you looking for? What's important in your life? What do you need? I mean, what do you really need? I can tell you it's not material. Those things are provided for us. We have what we need physically. We have the security. We have all of those things. What do you really need? You need a relationship. You need a confidence and a security in your salvation and where you're headed. And you need to be growing and developing and maturing in Christ Jesus. That's what you really need. And if those things are pursued in your life, you will find them. They're there because we know where they are. Sherry and I like to watch shows occasionally on the network Nat Geo, the cable network Nat Geo. There's a current series on. We haven't seen any of it. We keep seeing it advertised. About an archaeologist who has spent the last 20 years, looking for Cleopatra. I make two predictions. First prediction is she will never, ever, ever find Cleopatra until she looks where she is. Now, she's looked all over the place. She's looked under the ground, under the oceans. She has dug and climbed all over Egypt and beyond. And until she looks where she is, I don't think she's ever going to find her. The second prediction I'll make is, as soon as she looks where she is, she will find her immediately. It won't take long. What are you looking for? Let me change that. Where are you looking? Jesus Christ came and died for you. He's offered, He's promised, He's pledged to be with you always and to provide everything that you need. Why would you look anyplace else? Would you be responsive to Him? Would you make the determination, Lord, I've looked every place, I've tried it all, I've been there, I've done that, I've come up empty, and I finally concluded that I need to turn to You. If that's your determination, if that's what you need, if you haven't done that, we'd like to help you. We'd like to encourage you in that regard. Would you allow us to do that? Would you allow the Lord to do that? To provide what you need, it's the only place you're going to find it.